Just like to start with a prayer. Oh, thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for bringing us guys, us brothers here from Teen Challenge. And I just pray that you speak through us today, that your light shine through us and that we plant a seed. Many seeds are great, but one is enough, Lord. We praise you for the blessings that we do see and that we don't see, Lord. And we praise you for allowing us to come here and share today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, that video on the listen to my voice was pretty awesome. My name is Ben Watson. I'm 49 years old. I'm married. I've got 8 kids and 4 grandkids and another one on the way, another grandkid on the way. I already know that's going to be a boy just because my daughter told me. But the last couple of weeks, I've had 1 Corinthians 10:13 on my mind to talk about today. And so I questioned, is that you, God? But I studied it. Is that you, God? I still looked at it. And then this morning, when I walk into the TC office, went and shared with the boys, so they already know what I'm about to say, but I walked into the coffee room and right there on a sticky note was 1 Corinthians 10:13, sitting on the sticky note. Now, I don't believe in coincidence. Do you, Fred? No way, mate. And so I went to the guy whose book it was and I said, how come you've got 1 Corinthians 10:13 sitting on your sticky note there? And he goes, oh, that's the memory verse we're studying this week in our group studies, in our Bible studies. And I'm like, wow, that's God speaking right there. So I'd been listening to him, praying that that's what I was hearing, and just having that confirmation was just amazing. It was just, so hearing God's voice is just huge. Once again, thanks for having us here today. We really feel blessed to be able to come and share what God's doing in our lives. And we all have a different testimony. Nonetheless, it's a testimony of God's blessings. Absolutely. So I do want to talk about... that's going to fly away. I don't need to see that anyway. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 is no temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Wow. You know, as addicts, we think we're on our own. We think we're alone. We think that nobody understands our temptations. They think that we're the worst. We think we're the worst at it. That you can't understand, you can't help me, you can't help me because you don't get what I'm going through. But temptation has been around since the beginning. Since the very beginning. It's common to mankind. So, you know, it goes way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, as we know, tempted by the serpent. And not only to eat the fruit that looked good. It was good for food and it was good for wisdom, but that caused them to question God. You know, and then you go to Cain and Abel. Well, Cain was tempted by jealousy, which led to anger, which led to violence and led him to kill his brother. And then you go to Noah. Noah was tempted when he built his own vineyard. It says he drank the wine and got drunk and got naked. And then Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted also. But Jesus overcame that for us. You know, as addicts, like, I was a poly addict for more than 25 years. I was addicted to ice, alcohol, anger, frustration, sex, like, everything. Like, you name it, I was addicted to it. And I did not think there was one person that would understand what I was going through. My mum, my dad, my sister, my brother, my uncles, my aunties. Some were Christian, some were not. My mum was an alcoholic. And I thought there's no way she could understand me either, even though she was an alcoholic and was going through her own struggles. But then I ended up in jail again, standing behind the bars. A pastor turned up with a Bible in his hand. And he said, Ben, you need Teen Challenge. And I went, what is it? Tell me what it is. I don't know what it is. How do I get there? He explained to me what Teen Challenge was all about and where it started. Which it started in America. If you don't all know, it started back in the 50s and the 60s in America, in New York, where Pastor Reverend, actually, David Wilkerson, he saw a calling to go into New York and to try and save some young African American boys on trial. He couldn't save them, but while he was there, he saw a need. And he just preached on the street, saved some people. Nikki Cruz was one of his first ones, a gang member, a liar, a thief, a murderer. And he was one of the first people that he saved. And then he thought, right, I've saved these people. It's good, I can go home. So we went home to Pittsburgh. Came back 12 months later, and some of those people that he'd saved, some were dead, some were in jail. He thought, right, this is when they bought their first rundown three-story building, and they opened up their first teen challenge there in the Bronx, brought in the kids of that area and taught them the Bible. They taught them Jesus loves them. They taught them how to accept Jesus into their lives. And that's what Teen Challenge has done for me. I could not have overcome these things without Teen Challenge in my life teaching me how to pray, teaching me how to trust God's word, teaching me how to just rely on the voice of God. Absolutely. And you know, I'd had aunties in my life praying for me. My nana was praying for me. I couldn't understand what they were doing. They'd take me to church and I didn't understand a word they were saying. But once I got to Teen Challenge, they taught me it was okay. They actually understood me. We're not alone. We've never been alone since the beginning. People have had to be tempted. They have been tempted. They've been just angry. They've been tempted by all sorts of things, frustration, depression, you name it. They've been tempted. We're not alone. And that's what Teen Challenge brought to me. It taught me that I wasn't alone. There was other brothers that God had put in my life. Like, not only did he send Jesus to take my sin to the cross, which he did do, took my sin to the cross, but he also put people in my lives. Now, these men sitting right here, like Fred, me and Fred, are just from the day we saw each other, we saw brothers in Christ. That's what we saw in each other's eyes. And that's what Teen Challenge is. We might not understand the exact thing that you're going through, but we've been through something similar, you know, and that's exactly what we're there for. Teen Challenge has been in Kyabram, Victoria for 30 plus years now. It started in St Kilda. We've actually got a board out the front there that shows a little bit about history to now and what we're all about. But they started on the streets of St Kilda, just preaching the gospel to people on the street, to homeless people, to addicted people, to lost and broken people. And they saw that need. Like David Wilkerson saw the need. You can't just say it once and leave and then leave them to their own device. And that's what Teen Challenge does. That's what it did for us. It doesn't leave us to our own devices. Teen Challenge helps us and guides us. So I was an addict for 25 years. I could not quit on my own. I ended up in jail. I just, more than once, and I was violent, I was angry, I smashed up everything. My kids ended up hating me, and I've got a lot of kids. I've got a tribe. We can play football. Anyway, they love me again now, though, because God has restored my relationships. God has restored everything. When I first went to Teen Challenge, not one of my children was speaking to me. I've got children that range from the age of 7 now, and I've been a Christian now for 7 years. So the one that's 7 was like this big when I went to Teen Challenge. Plus I've got a 32-year-old and all in-betweens. And I've got 4 grandchildren, some are 10, one's 10, Georgia, then 9. Now, I didn't see them for a couple of years, but I had to trust God that God was going to restore that. And Teen Challenge helped me through that. Teen Challenge gave me a place to feel safe. They gave me a place to pray, a place to worship. And they gave me brothers that understand me, that will help comfort me, that will help hug me. They gave me a shoulder to lean on. I'm trying not to cry right now, but it's going to happen, but that's okay. Yeah, Curtis is already nearly crying. Curtis is, he's a great man. But this is how much God's done in my life. I was such a broken, lost individual that I was just lost to, I was a slave to all of my own fears. I couldn't do anything without stumbling and falling. And then since I've given my life, I can still remember that first time I had that first encounter with Jesus, which was at Teen Challenge, doing laps because I was in trouble. I was banned from talking to my wife because, well, I got myself in trouble in Teen Challenge. So they said, right, you can't talk to your wife anymore because you're not focused on God. So I start, that's where my full prayer life started. And I had this massive encounter with Jesus where I felt his love. He didn't just deliver me from drugs and alcohol that day, and I know it was that day. He turned my heart around. I was selfish, I was violent, and now I'm completely the opposite. I put people before myself because we're here to serve. We're here to serve. And so I left Teen Challenge. I went back to my home and just volunteered at church and volunteered at church. 6 days a week I was at church for 6 to 8 hours a day. My wife and my kids were all at church. And now God's brought me back to Teen Challenge. I'm now a fully qualified counsellor, drug and alcohol counsellor. He's brought me back to Teen Challenge last April, Fred, last April. And now I'm the program director. I'm there now leading Teen Challenge so I can help guide guys like Travis and Curtis to a fully functional relationship with Jesus, to a great prayer life, to knowing that they're always loved. They're never alone. Never alone. Not only do we have Jesus in our hearts, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're never alone. And on that note, I want to welcome Fred up here. Fred Cox, my brother in Christ, whom I love.
He's a compulsive hugger.
Hugger. Yes, I am. I love it. Fred and I have been travelling for the last 12 months doing, I'll give it to you in a minute, doing trips through schools in Mount Evelyn and Healesville and things like that, sharing our testimonies with the kids in the schools there and hearing their testimonies. And we've built such a relationship with them that they're trying to contact us in Zoom calls now so they can catch up with us because they're struggling. It's been great. We've built a great relationship. He's now an uncle to my children. Anyway, here you go, Fred.
He's an amazing man, this guy. So welcome and thanks very much for having me. Like Ben said, my name's Fred, and by the grace of God, I've been saved, and I feel privileged to be able to go around and share my testimony, and so I'll kick it off. I was born in Brisbane, and I'd come from a home that was ripe of domestic violence, and wasn't before long that I was taken away from my parents and put in a home. So I've grown up in institutions most of my life. And my first encounter was with God wasn't a good one. It was in the boys' homes that were run by priests. So, yeah. That was my first encounter. But anyway, growing up through the boys' homes, I started to go to school, and I was in and out of school a lot. I didn't learn how to read and write, so I struggled. And it wasn't before long that I was out on the street and running with some underworld figures that were heroes to me. And I felt I belonged. So that's where I grew up. So age of 9 is when I started using drugs. My father was a drug addict and in and out of prisons himself, and my older brother as well. So we just sort of followed the leader. And so a young age is when I started using, and up to about 46 is when I came to Teen Challenge, and that's when I was set free from addiction. So as you can imagine, growing up in institutions, I started out in boys' homes, but then I ended up going to prison. And so I spent most of my adult life in prison. My longest stretch was 14 years straight, and that was for armed robberies. And I did have a guy in there who was a prison chaplain. He tried to introduce me to God, but I was really shut off from it. It turned into a great story, but I'll share that at the end. He gave me a Bible to practice reading in myself, and I'll share that at the end. Anyway, so I am a father of four girls and a grandfather to six children. I used to hear all the fellas talking about changing nappies and all that stuff, and I used to get around saying, I've never done that. And no, I thought it was a bit of a flex. But deep down, I was sad that I didn't get to do all that. But God's into healing and restoration. And I am a father. I can honestly be proud enough to say that I am a father now. And what I didn't do with my children, I'm doing with my grandchildren. And yeah, it's amazing. So, yeah. In prison most of my adult life, and it wasn't until 2019. Well, actually, 2011 is when I finished the 14 years, and I qualified for a program called Second Chance, which was started by a footy player called Mal Meninga, and that qualified me for a traineeship with Telstra. And my first job ever, besides what I used to do when I was a child. And I learned a trade as a linesman. First thing I did when I got out was my wife gave up her life to be with me through all that time. So I felt I owed her. And I told her that I would just turn my back on my old ways and give life a go. I also promised her that I would marry her. So I was with her for like 28 years or something. But we didn't get married till 2011 when I got out. And things were going great. I had a job, had a wife, and I was getting to know my children. My children were little babies when I first went to prison. And when I got out, they were adults. And they were telling me what to do. But, so things were going really good. But I was deemed what they call institutionalised by the government, put on a life disability pension. And I did learn to read and write while I was in prison, which was really good. But as far as being normal and living in the community, I really did struggle, and it wasn't before long that my old life started to creep back in, clearly because I didn't know Jesus. But and it wasn't before long that my marriage was starting to fall apart and I was back in prison. And 2019, my wife came up on a jail visit and told me she only had a few months left to live. And I fought through the courts to try and be out of, and be with her on her final days. And I won the appeal, and I got out to be with her and hold her hand through her last days. And I remember one day we were up at the hospital, and a mate of mine who started a ministry himself, his name was Terry Walker, and his ministry is the Tribe of Judah Ministry. And he was overseas, and he put his ministry on hold and came over to speak to my wife on her final days, and he did the salvation prayer with her. And we weren't Christians at all, and I remember when he was holding her hand and leading her to the Lord, my daughters and I were standing behind him just pulling faces and that, because we didn't know what was going on. And so my wife ended up dying like probably 2 weeks after that, but she died at peace. And a few things happened just as up to the lead up of her passing that I didn't really understand. But anyway, so she died in my arms, and I ended up back in prison real quick after that, probably about 14, 15 days after that. And a good mate of mine reached out. He was a counsellor at Teen Challenge. And he reached out. He knew I was in a hard place, and offered me a bed at Teen Challenge. So I went to court again, and the judge gave me a chance. He'd heard about Teen Challenge and the great work that it does in the community, so he gave me a chance. And so, yeah, I went to Teen Challenge, and it was really weird. When I got there, I just felt at peace, felt the love. As soon as I walked through the doors, blokes were running up and hugging me, and I wasn't used to that. And, yeah, I just felt really at peace and safe for the first time in my whole life. And, yeah, it was an amazing feeling. And my first time in church, which was the following weekend, on the Friday, a bloke came up to me and he goes, "Have you done the salvation prayer before?" And I said, "No, mate, I've never done that." And so he goes, "All right, come and pray with me." So I did, and I welcomed Jesus into my heart. And on the Sundays when I went to church, and I'm really thankful that my God is a patient God, and he waited 46 years for me. Wow. And on my first day in church, after I did the salvation prayer, is when he tapped me on the shoulder, and it was the most amazing time of my whole life. And all my burdens and all the heavy weight that I'd been carrying around my whole life were lifted instantly. I've got a bad habit of crossing my arms, my hands. And I looked down because I couldn't feel my feet. I felt so light, and I felt like I was just surrounded by this big ball of energy. And I had to look down to see if my feet were still touching the ground. And As I lifted my head, I had tears rolling down my face, but I wasn't sad. They were tears of joy, and my hands were up in the air like this. And I just felt so blessed. It was awesome. And for the next month or so, I was skipping around and humming songs and just wanted to stand on the rooftop and yell at the top of my voice what had just had happened to me. And it was the most amazing feeling. And yeah, I still do, yeah. And I really understood then what the salvation prayer meant. And it brings peace to my heart knowing that my wife got to do it before she left as well. So I know she is in peace as well. So I did the program. You have your good days and your bad days. They do this thing where it's called walking through the ruins. So, yeah, I did a bit of walking around and through the ruins, and it was just great feeling that freedom of like shedding my old skins and stepping out into the new me, because I believe I was reborn on that day, and it's just awesome to feel the taste of freedom, you know. And, so after a lot of hard work and listening to his voice, he got me through to the end of the program. And I was asked if I wanted to stay on and do servant leader training. So I wanted to give back and continue my journey with my mate Jesus, you know. And so I did another 12 months after that. I've been there 3 and a bit years now. And then after my servant leader training, I was offered a role to stay on and to do some study as well and become a I'm qualified in community services and AOD counselling. And and it's a pretty big deal. Last time I was in class, it was like I was probably this big. But I was offered a job as a mentor, and also I'm a property manager as well there. So, and it's a privilege to be a part of Teen Challenge, where I get to witness miracles every day. Yeah. And the further I continue my walk with Jesus, I get to reflect a lot and look back. And he's been by my side this whole time. He's never left me once. The more I look back, the more I see that he has been with me the whole time. And the story that I was going to tell you about the book, the Bible. So I was, 2007 is when I did a numeracy and literacy course through the Salvation Army in the prison system. And this chaplain gave me a Bible that he'd been carrying around for years. And I'm like, I didn't want to be rude, but I took it anyway. And he said, just practice reading in your cell, mate. You know, like practice reading and getting to know this bloke, Jesus. And as soon as I walked in my cell, I just put it away, and I never touched it again. And then the day I was released in 2011, my children came up with my wife to pick me up. Well, my second eldest daughter, Shana, she had some distorted, weird concepts on God, but she was immature. So, like, yeah. So I thought, what am I going to do with this book? Well, how about I give it to Shana? So I gave it to Shana, and it wasn't long ago that now that I have my children back in my life, and she's now more mature in Christ too, so like, yeah, it's great. We sit down and we actually talk about God these days. It's really good. And anyway, she sent me this photo, and she says, oh my God, God had his hand in your decision to be at Teen Challenge. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So she sent me this photo, and stamped on the inside of this Bible was Teen Challenge Kyabram. So he knew, he had a plan for me to go through what I went through and come out free on the other side and to plant my feet in Teen Challenge and in him and to share my life with guys like these two here and help them find the freedom that I found. And I'm so blessed to be alive and to have God in my corner. So, I could stand here and talk all day, to be honest.
I have a question. What was the hardest thing about Teen Challenge? The hardest
thing? Growing up, the life that I was born into, the life that I thought I was supposed to lead, I ran on self-will. I made the decisions. I'm the one who put clothes on my back. I'm the one who put food in my mouths. If I wanted a pair of shoes, no one would buy me a pair of shoes. I had to go out and do something to get them. So it was always me that was in control of my life. So the hardest part was surrender. And my life didn't change. And I see it all the time. I had a conversation with a bloke, one of my students not so long ago, about surrender. Because he had one foot in and one foot out. And I had the conversation with him about not being able to serve two masters. So the hardest thing was surrender. And the day that I did was the day that my life changed. Yeah. Any more questions, mate? So, yeah, that's me. And thank you very much for listening. And I'll pass the torch on to Curtis here. And his story is amazing. Thanks for throwing things at me.
It doesn't look like there's any
kids, mate. Yeah. That was God talking. I love these two men here, and Trav, obviously. But as soon as I came into the program, I just found out my new daughter was born, Lily, 2 days in, because I was waiting upon that, and then I got released on bail to Teen Challenge, knowing that, oh, she hasn't given birth yet. I'm like, oh, when's it going to happen? And within the first 30 days, you don't get any contact out or anything. So I was stressing about that, but Ben comes up to me 2 days into my cubicle that I was writing stuff down in. And he's like, I got two good news things for you. I was like, oh, really, what's that? He's like, you're a proud father and I'm your mentor. Come up and have a chat. And I got to call Amanda. So, yeah, it's amazing. I'll get into it now anyway. My name is Curtis Kenyon. I'm 28 years young. I was born and raised in Blairgowrie on the Mornington Peninsula. I went to primary school in Sereno called St. Joseph's. After that, I went to Padua College, completing Year 12 VCE. During all my schoolings, I had a perfect childhood with two loving parents that are still together and love me unconditionally to this day. I have three older brothers, which I lost a lot of trust with them due to my shady past and me being the black sheep living in the family. I always had to be different, even if it meant being a criminal. As you can probably get by now, I'm the youngest of the four. Recently, after going on my pass away from Teen Challenge back home, I've realised that all relationships can be mended, just takes time and positivity. Because at the end of the day, family is family, and as part of God's family, we are all connected as one. I started to dabble with drugs when I was 13, with cigarettes and weed. When I was a sponsored skateboarder by Trigger Brothers Surf, I was a fairly normal child. I played football for the local team, did gymnastics before that, and mucked around in the surf on the beaches of the Mornington Peninsula. When year 9 or 8 hit, I made a fake ID for myself and started going out heavily drinking at the local club in Sereno called the Continental Hotel, which was attached to the local hotel building. If I wasn't there, I would be down Germana foreshore, binge drinking with groups of people, especially during school holidays. In year 10, one of my older brother's friends at the time, behind my brother's back, gave me hundreds of ecstasy tablets to sell. They were called Green Hearts, which is a highly potent cocktail of MDMA and speed combined. I sold a lot of them, which created a name for myself as a drug dealer, which I loved that rebellious attention at the time. I now hate being known for this, but it is what it is. After that, I began using Whipper, which is speed. I snorted a lot of this on the weekend through year 11 and until year 12. After that, I was introduced to my demise, known as the crack pop. I thought it was all good because everyone I hung around was doing it, and it wasn't like I was smoking crack or anything, it was just speed. And here I was at the next stage of my addiction phase, in the public toilets across the road from the Conti nightclub, just finding out I'd just been fooled by a guy I was with. He had packed the pipe with ice, which is known properly as meth, instead of the speed that it was meant to be. I felt sick to my stomach after I exhaled it, but at the same time it made me feel invincible, like life had no issues, that I could do anything, be whoever I wanted to be. I thought I was 10 men tall instead of 5'4" man I am. From that night on, that was my drug of choice. Turns out, in the end, we don't really get a choice with ice after we use it. It becomes a need, not a want, which is a lie it deceives you with. Therefore, it's known by some as the devil's dandruff. 9 years on, I've lost many relationships. There is a lot of lives I've ruined and watched as the people around me that I pitied within the flick of a light switch. I was a skeleton of a man. People were looking down at, calling me a lost cause, a junkie even. I've committed so many crimes as I wasted away a lot of my youth, like drug trafficking, high-speed pursuits with police. I've rammed a police car in pursuit, messed around with firearms, theft, a lot of debt collecting. I constantly had people after me because I was the world's worst drug dealer. I would consume all the supply. I got my beautiful fiance and now three beautiful children that I've put through 8 years on hell on earth. He's given me the ability to cry, don't you worry. which I'm thankful to still be able to make up for all of it in the future. I believe I've been given three chances by God to keep living to change my ways. I was in a head-on car accident when I was 21 years old. I fell asleep behind the wheel of my car after work on a 2-week bender on ice. I veered onto the wrong side of the road at 80 kilometres an hour, colliding head-on with another vehicle. The other driver and passenger was unharmed physically. My head went through the steering wheel. I ended up having two fractured eye sockets and a severely broken nose. I didn't have a pulse while the fireman that was cutting me out with the jaws of life was searching for it frantically. But I came back from the dead, and turns out the fireman that was there with me was a friend's dad that volunteered down the local station. I remember the doctor telling me after I woke up, if I wasn't asleep during the accident, I wouldn't be walking today. I then said to him, if I wasn't asleep, I wouldn't have been in an accident in the first place. But that was just me projecting onto him, as I was annoyed finding out that they took a blood test for drugs while I was under. Number two, 9 months ago, weighing in at 54, a drug deteriorated skeleton of a man. I'm now 77, to put that in perspective. I was on the run from police for 3 months, and I had enough of my life I was leading. I had a shotgun in my mouth. I pulled the trigger, the firing pin snapped into action, and nothing happened. I knew it was loaded the last time I had it, but I dearly believe that God had made that shell disappear out of the barrel that night. You have more for me to do on this earth. Number three. Roughly around the same time, a couple of weeks later, upon my arrest in Rosebud, I had the police task force swarm in on me. Dressed like ninjas, I was trying to make my escape from Victoria in a taxi. I ran when I saw the four-wheel drives come at me from all directions. As I ran across Point Nepean Highway towards the beach, I was hit side on by the police vehicle. I then tumbled under the engine bay twice, ending up under the foot panel of the driver's side. I had a tyre print on my forehead, broken shoulder blade, and a deep wound on my right kneecap from the sump bolt under the engine. An everyday reminder I should have been dead that day. As I laid under the car while an officer pulled a gun from my elastic on my pants, all that was running through my mind was mental images of my daughter Piper smiling at me. And my son Hudson. And my beautiful partner Amanda. I was then put on a spinal board and transported while being under heavy police guard to the Alfred Hospital in the city for a few days of observation before they dragged me into prison custody at the Melbourne Assessment Prison for the third time in my life, something I had to give in my revolving door life of drug addiction, and it has happened, my salvation with the Lord. God has funneled me to Teen Challenge by His grace to change my life. While I was in jail at Fulham in Sale, my lawyer asked me if I wanted to do rehab, and I said yes. She asked which one I would prefer, and I asked if there was a Christian-based one, because Amanda, my partner, is a new Christian. She then mentioned to me Teen Challenge and that she had sent someone there before and they had a really, really good results. I then was doubtful of getting accepted into the program because my lawyer herself said it would be a Hail Mary pass. Any way to get me out to a residential rehab due to my charges. Looking ahead of me with a maximum of 6 years in jail if I were to be found guilty of the crimes I'm up on, I was very depressed and reluctant to go to rehab. I think it was the fear from my addiction actually to receive help for it. In the fifth month on remand in prison, I began to pray to God, and I mean really pray, not just mumble away at it because I had to, like in school. No, I mean like emotionally calling out to Him for help, for saving. And for my family back home to be watched over. After my first prayer, I was literally balled up in the corner of my cell in nearly a psychotic state, crying, barely be able to breathe. For hours I was like this until about 2 a.m. But after letting all those bottled up emotions out, I was so relieved. So much weight had come off my shoulders. So after that long night, I began praying every day, whether the prayer being either thankful of a partner and mother to my children I have, or asking for forgiveness for something I'd done. But every morning I woke up, I began to love myself and the world around me more and more. I may have been in jail, but I'd been released from my from my chains in my soul. So the happiest I've been in 9 years since I started my journey on ice was actually being sober and in jail and finding myself again, because it's been so long since I've been naturally happy. It brings so much depression on me knowing that. And like all men, I never used to cry or show emotion because I was scared it would make me look weak. Now I'm crying nearly every day, as you can see. And it is amazing, godly, even because the Holy Spirit has softened my heart to understand and to help myself and others. And it happened, I got granted bail to attend challenge by the judge at county court. So I believe more and more every day God is delivering me from my old ways and leading me and my family to a new fulfilled life of pure happiness. On the 9th of July 2022, just after I come into the program, I had my first real presence with God, and it was really familiar with how Fred puts it. I remember reading out my testimony that I put down to him too, and he was like, that's crazy. But yeah, this was from Living Waters Church. I had my first real presence experience with God tonight at Living Waters Church in Kyabram. Pastor Chloe was talking about showing faith in the Lord and that the Lord has our lives in his hands. He already has every step before us mapped out, and he only has our best life in mind with nothing we cannot handle in it. We just have to show our faith and love and worship the Lord. Tonight, as usual, I had that big ball of emotion coming from my soul to my throat of shame and guilt. But after bowing my head, Fred grabbed the back of my neck. It almost felt like my head was weightless, and I was already moving towards the front of the altar. And Chloe asked the church to come to the front for personal prayer. I went up again, and Fred and Jordan and a few other boys came up with me. Once again, Fred's hand was on my neck, almost holding me helplessly to the Lord himself, like I was bowing right in front of a presence I could not explain. A huge and bright presence, and the warmth and acceptance I felt was not even comprehensible. My heart felt at peace while tears rolled down my chin. And for once in over 9 years, I have felt little inner peace in my heart, innocence even. Like my guilt from the past crimes, sin and drug torment I created in myself and in my family had been looked past by God, and he'll take me as I am, as a whole. Like all my baggage did not matter, that I am enough. I don't need to fake who I am or what I've done. I've never had this feeling. Happy tears. I can only describe it as a natural ecstasy and pure inner peace. This is my first prayer too I wrote. I'll end on this. This was while I was still locked up. I wrote this and then finished it while I was at Teen Challenge. Dear Lord, because I was in denial, I could not be pled or bargained with to stop or even tolerated because of that fact. I saw the chemical as my friend, my saviour, where it was Satan himself sitting upon my shoulder, ruining my life puff by puff, crime by crime, thrill by thrill, lie by lie. Thank you, Lord, for knocking the demon from his throne in my life and taking up arms with me, bringing forth the light you shine through me. Lord, I thank you for my eyes you have opened. You've helped me achieve great appreciation of the love of my life and the beautiful family we have made together. By your grace, you've allowed me to still walk this earth to live and break with them through your glory. With your help, I'm growing to be the man you've put me on this earth to be. I'm loving, caring, and I've got a huge soft heart. You've given me the ability, with no doubt, that you are real and live through me. You've delivered me through evil, depression, sin, deceit, and death. I'm born again, Lord, and in your name, amen. Thanks, everyone. I'll just pass you off to Travi now. It's his first time, and he's going to do wonders.
We can only try. We can only try. So good. Hi, my name is Travis Ringrave, and I'm 25 years old, and I'm from Bendigo, Victoria. I come from a loving family of two older brothers and a sister, which makes me the youngest. My whole life, my parents have not been together. I grew up living with mum and my siblings and would stay at dad's on weekends. Growing up, I was always active outside and loved playing footy. Where was I before finding Jesus? Well, it all started in September 2014 when my mum passed away at 45 due to having lung cancer. Losing mum was one of the hardest things I've ever had to go through in life. At only 16, I had my whole life taken from me. After mum passing away, I then lived with my oldest brother and got a job re-stumping houses. It was good money, but at the same time, I was going through so much hurt, I spent every bit of my pay getting drunk to take my pain away. But it was only a matter of time before drinking turned into drugs, and at the age of 16, I was shown an ice pipe and began smoking ice, hiding it from my family for years, then smoking it become a part of my everyday life. Once hooked on it, I began doing crime and selling drugs. Wasn't until only last year, everything took its toll and I found myself hiding in my roof from the Victorian Police Response Team, raiding my house and taking absolutely everything I had. I was on the run for 3 months, having the police raid my family members' homes looking for me. It was at this point I decided to hand myself in, which led me to 5 months in jail and 118 charges of theft. I got released on Kiss Bail, which was a four-month program where I had to speak to a drug and alcohol worker every week with urine tests and had a 7 to 9 p.m. curfew. I completed Kiss with ease, then was placed on an 18-month court correction order with time served. Once I finished Kiss, I began working again, re-stumping. I then began heavily drinking Double Jacks, which soon led me to drinking at work from lunch till I went to bed. And this was a reoccurring situation which I didn't see as a huge problem at the time. I was drinking to mask my pain in life over never actually dealing with the loss of my mum, which I still struggle with today, which scares me. Before coming into 2C, I was only wanting help with my drug addiction. I didn't think my emotions or grief or the way I dealt with others was my issue. 4 months I've now been at TC and still felt this way until recently. I didn't realise that they both go hand in hand, drug use and emotion. I used to self-isolate myself, even from my own family, hiding my pain, which was foolish because it dredged up the dark side of me, because hidden pain is Satan's most powerful weapon to use against us, which in his case, he won the fight. And I turned to prescription drugs and was mixing drinking and Xanaxes together, and that only led me back onto another crime spree. Then I woke up in the Bendigo cells, not knowing what I had done until speaking to my lawyer. And she then told me I'd been charged with a home invasion and two aggravated burglaries. It was at this point I told my lawyer I wanted help, and I asked about going to rehab. I spent three months in jail before getting bail to Teen Challenge. Since being there, two of my charges have been dropped, and I'm currently trying to set up a mediation with the people whom I did the home invasion on, because it's something God has put in my heart to apologise to them. Every day I am at war with Satan. There has been multiple times where I have wanted to leave the program, but I've kept on pushing forward. I've got one foot in faith and the other foot and the other foot is in doubt. I just need to step over into faith and keep giving everything over to Jesus. Since I've been at Teen Challenge, I'm working on rebuilding a relationship with my dad, because when I was deep in addiction, I pushed him out of my life and kept everything from him. I used to blame him for never being there for me when I was the one who ran from him. This is a major problem in my life. I have now realised, because all he has ever wanted to do is help me. This is real growth in myself, because I can now see it was never one-sided, and I am taking responsibility for that. When first starting the program, I began to gel with people that created a bad atmosphere for me and struggled finding a way to separate myself from them. I believe God has given me the ability to be able to walk away from relationships when they are poisonous for me. I could never do this in my past. In saying that, this is how I know it's God's work, because one of my mental sessions with Richo, where he told me he had a vision of me being stuck at a crossroad, and I thought it was ridiculous that he had this vision, until a couple of days later at lunch, Fred told me the exact same vision, but now I had crossed through the crossroad, and that spanned me out. I'm now working in my own brain that there is no such thing as coincidences. Yeah. and that they are a blessing and guidance from God. Yeah. And that's me.
Good job, brother.
seats, everything. So I remember when Travis first came in, and he did gel with all the negative people, and they fed off each other in negative ways. But he made the choice, just like Curtis here as well, to step away, to start stepping over to that, to the God line. We'll call it the God line, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? And he started seeking extra Bible study at night time. And I'm not talking once a week, I'm talking every night. You're doing amazing, bro. We're so proud of you, man. So proud of you. So, Curtis, what's been the hardest thing for you, bro?
Not crying, nah. Shame and guilt from the past. Self-forgiveness.
So, I suppose my question is, have you realised now that God doesn't hold that? Like, you've asked for forgiveness. You fully surrendered to God.
I've fully repented.
Yeah.
It's still there. Uh-huh. I've fully repented. It's still there. It's the whole self-forgiveness and the devil using that against you. It does get easier, yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Praise God. What's been the hardest thing for you?
Self-forgiveness and, the shame from my past still eats at me every day. Yeah. But, yeah, it's something that's slowly getting easier and easier. The more I give it to God, it's just, yeah.
The hardest thing for me in Teen Challenge, when I first went, I've been a Christian now 7 years, so I did the program 7 years ago. First 30 days was easy for me because I just wanted them to ram the Bible down my throat. I said, give it to me. I want God. I want this person. I want Jesus. Who is he? And then after that, I realized, well, this is really hard. So after 30 days, it got harder and harder and harder. And the hardest thing for me was guilt and shame. The guilt of the pain I'd put my family through, my kids. But it just got easier and easier. And do you know, sometimes still some of those things, my kids will say to me, do you remember this, Dad? And it'll be from 15 years ago. And I'll be like, I'm sorry, I just don't. I just don't. And they'll go, oh, that's all right, because I forgive you. And it instantly makes me feel okay about where I'm at. You know, like it's just, it's amazing. You know, Teen Challenge. Fred, do you want to come up and just give a program description of how you see Teen Challenge? I see Teen Challenge as a saving grace. It's where Jesus lives. God is there all the time. How do you see Teen Challenge, mate?
I see Teen Challenge as like a baptism bath where you go there as one, as an old self, and you come up reborn new. Yeah. Yeah, through the power of God. And it is such a deliverance. Shedding that old skin and finding that freedom is nothing short but a miracle. Awesome. Yeah.
So are you still a slave to your fear?
No.
What about you? Getting there?
Yeah.
Yeah, getting there? Can we end it with a song? Is that all right, Ken?
I think that's a great idea. You can get yourself ready for that. You know, we've all got a past. We've all got a history. But you know something, when Jesus comes into our life, that's why Jesus said you must be born again. And boys, I want you to understand and listen to me clearly. Clearly. Being born again, when a baby is born, it has no past or history apart from the mother's gestation period. When the baby is born, its history begins. It gets a birth certificate and they start to document what the baby does and the history of that child begins. Then that child grows and goes to school and it gets a history of school life. It gets another history. There's always a history. But you know, when Jesus comes into our life and he says you have to be born again, guess what? There's no past history. There is no past history in God's kingdom. You come to him and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. And he says, that's fine. You're born again. Not guilty. Have you ever stood before a judge and he says, not guilty? No, it's always guilty if you don't, if you've got a history. But you stand before the judge of glory and he says, and even now, come on, I'm telling you. Even now, the devil will remind you of your past. But you can just turn around and say, no, I died to that. That's why baptism's important. We're buried with him in baptism. We walk with newness of life. And you can stand boldly and say, but I'm not guilty. I still remember it, but I'm not guilty. It doesn't haunt me anymore because I'm not guilty. That's the secret of being born again, because there's no history prior to being born in the name of Jesus. So go for it, guys. To hear this one, so they're all here. God. Oh, wow. Pretty awesome, mate. Isn't God good? What God is doing in the lives of these guys and through the work of Teen Challenge in expanding his kingdom. And these guys have got a future ahead of them where the kingdom of God will be greatly expanded, I believe. Look, we're late. If you have to go, we understand. If you're staying for lunch,